Welcome to the Plain English Attorney Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey G. Marsacci, and I'm an attorney, certified Medicaid planner, and author by trade. But I've been told that my biggest strength is to boil down complicated legal issues into plain English. In this podcast, I'll cover a wide array of legal, financial, and current event issues relevant to today's busy listener. It's my goal to make the complex more simple for you so you can get on to what is important to you in your life. Please make sure to check out the links in the podcast description. And as always, please subscribe and comment. Hi, Jeff Marsacci, the Plain English Attorney, and today I'm going to just comment on a story that's kind of been floating around the news, and in particular Reddit and a couple of other places, and it's the case of a Canadian businessman who's paying $50,000 a month in support to a woman he wasn't married to, and people are going crazy all over the place. It's unfair. And how, you know, they didn't commingle accounts and she had her own home and her own address. So, you know, how can you possibly come to this conclusion that he owes her money and he owes her support? They never got married. Okay. I honestly, I don't have that much sympathy in this case because this guy obviously was making an awful lot of money. And I guess you have to start with the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law, and again, it's Canadian, so it's not in North Carolina where I'm a licensed attorney. So just take this as regular commentary from someone who just happens to know a little bit more about the law, not as legal advice. The purpose of the law is so that someone can't make this promise. Hey, we're going to live together. I'll take care of you, I'll supply the money, but you drop everything and we're going to have an actual relationship where there's sex involved. So I'm going to take care of these things. And then several years go by and then it's, nah, I'm done. Well, wait a minute, I relied on the fact that you were going to be taking care of me. You know, I didn't have a job. I was taking care of your home. And, well, nope. That's it. Go. Okay. That's where, in this jurisdiction up in Canada, if the relationship was for 3 years or more, you're, quote, a common law married, at least in terms of support. So what people are all outraged about is that this gentleman obviously hadn't intended to marry her, at least not until many years later, and I'm hoping I'm getting the number right. I didn't write it down, but this was, I believe, like 2007 or so that the relationship was really underway. So that's like 13 years. So what did he do right that everybody seems to be latching on to say this is unfair? He obviously didn't mean to support her. Well, they kept their accounts separate. Okay, and we'll come back to that. And they had separate residences. She had her own home. How can you say they cohabitated? All right, this is one of those things where they have to look at all of the different factors. So let's go through that. Did she have her own residence? Yes, but obviously they were sleeping over with each other quite a bit. And he paid off her mortgage for her. He paid that off. So that's not, he took that responsibility and paid that off. Well, why did he do that? If they're going to keep their accounts separate, why did he do that? Well, we're going to get to that. So yeah, they did keep their accounts separate. But in keeping those accounts separate, he also, apparently, she quit her job and she needed money. So even though she had her separate account, he was giving her money every month. Okay, so he didn't put her name on the account, but he was giving her money every single month. So he paid off her house, and he was giving her money every month. So, okay, what else did he do? In other words, what did he do wrong that led the court to conclude, yes, he owes this support? Now, it was $50,000 a month for life, but an appeals court cut that back to a 10-year period. In other words, it was after that third year, it was a 10-year relationship. He's going to support for about an equal time. So, all right. So she quit her job and he was fine with that. They vacationed together and he even paid for a lot of things for her kids, not their kids together, her children. So he was paying for all these things. He gave her a 7.5-carat diamond ring. And here's the big one. And this is really one of the reasons why I really don't have an awful lot of sympathy for this guy. He's introducing her around using his last name. Okay, but then he's claiming, oh, well, we weren't really married. But he gave her his last name, and he was introducing her using his last name, obviously giving the impression they were married. So with all of those factors, how do you conclude that, okay, he supported her for 13 years, she quit her job to be available, he paid off her mortgage, he was giving her money every month, how is this not her dropping everything and going to be available for him, and it's not a support, quote, cohabitation situation? Look, he entered this. He did this. He voluntarily. So, you know, what didn't he do is probably another question. He didn't have any kind of disclosures or agreements or disclaimers stating, hey, we're both adults, we're agreeing this isn't a cohabitation agreement. You know, this is not a cohabitation situation. We're just dating and that's it. There was nothing like that in place. He shouldn't have had her quit her job. Hey, if he had enough money and he was in business and he was able, that they ordered $50,000 a month to be reasonable support, he could have gotten her a job so that she was receiving this income, but she was working on her own. But as it is, that's 13 years of lost job opportunity and experience and advancement where she could have taken over on her own. So yeah, again, that's a big thing. They could have acknowledged or had an agreement that, hey, he's just giving gifts to her. It's not support. She's agreeing, unquote, under oath, if it's in front of a notary, that this is not in any way support. It's gifts. I don't know how much the court would necessarily buy that if she was still quitting her job and not doing anything except be available for him. Or he should have just never asked her to quit her job in the first place. So these are things that all go into these factors. So yeah, the whole internet and the blogosphere and everything, everybody could yell and scream and complain, oh, this isn't right, it's not fair, they had separate accounts and they had... I hear this stuff all the time and this is how I kind of came to talk about this, in estate planning and in Medicaid planning. And it's, well, the Medicaid rules say you have to have less than $2,000. So I just gave everything away. How am I supposed... I didn't have that money anymore. I gave it to my kids and they spent it. So how can you expect Medicaid? You have to take care of me. How can you expect me to get that money back? I already gave it away. Well, the rules say you don't give it away. Estate planning. A couple decides they're not going to get married. They're just going to live together. Fine. And then the guy says, okay, well, I will support you, woman. And I'm just using that as an example. It could be the other way around. you kind of be the stay-at-home person, but we're not going to get married. We're going to support you. We're going to take care of, you know, I'll take care of you. And this is it. He states, when I die, I want you to get everything. Doesn't do a will. Doesn't do a power of attorney. He gets sick. He's suddenly in the hospital. He's in a coma for 3 months. And the next of kin sweeps in. They start making medical decisions. I've been living with them for 20 years. I should be making those decisions. No, because the law says you don't. The next of kin does unless you have the documents. You got to have a healthcare power of attorney. And then guy dies. That's it. House is in his name. He's deceased. It goes to the next of kin because he didn't have a will. You're out on the street. But I have no savings of my own. I was committed to him for 20 years. Well, look, you didn't take care of what you needed to take care of. In particular, on a lot of these threads that are out there, it's called, quote, the manosphere. It's where men are standing up and wanting to be more masculine, be more independent. And they're being taken advantage of in a lot of cases by women, by a much, not necessarily an equality feminism, but what they call third wave or fourth wave or whatever it is. The complaining is that this is just not fair to men. See how this law is bad for men. And there are some cases out there that legitimately are bad for men, just as there are a lot of instances and institutions where it's not good for women. Just an example for men, child custody. It would be ridiculous for someone to say that in practice, men are just as likely to get full custody of their children as a woman. That's just not the case. But when there are all of these things that are available, where if a man does not want to get married, wants to keep things separate, does not want to be considered on the hook for support and for cohabitation, look, those documents, those strategies, they're out there. All this guy had to do was talk with an attorney who knew what they were doing and get things set up the right way. He used folk remedies. Oh, well, if I keep my account separate and she keeps her residence, we're not cohabitating. Not true. It's not true. You got to have the right documentation. So again, just some commentary on that case that just seems to be going out there. And I hope this helps people realize, look, you don't have to conform to what society says is the standard. You go, you live your life the way you want to live your life, but you need to be strong and capable. And part of that, in being strong, capable, and independent, is making sure you've got the legal stuff sewn up. So make sure that you're getting things done and documented the right way. In the latter example that I gave, look, if you're going to end up living together and the intention is, yes, I want this partner to be able to handle medical and financial things. If I become disabled, I want them to inherit when I pass on. Just telling them, yeah, I want you to inherit everything, that's not what the law says. So know the law or talk to an attorney so you understand what the law says, and then get the documentation set up so things go the way you want, as opposed to the default law that says, if you don't handle it the right way, here's what's going to happen. So I hope you got some good information out of that. If you're, you know, thinking about things with your life, how you're handling things, and especially in the estate area, where this is where I have been living for the last 25 years, is in the estate planning and even the Medicaid planning realm. Let me know if you've got any questions. Go ahead and put them into the comments below or message us. And as always, as the Plainish English attorney, I always tell you, look, stay safe, plan ahead, and enjoy life.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Plain English Attorney Podcast, and we hope you found this session interesting and informative. For more information, please check out the links in the description, and please let us know if you have any ideas for future podcasts.